I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Oh, my God. It is. I walked outside today. It's perfect. It's perfect out. It is absolutely, could not be a more lovely fall day. Just perfect. Not cold, Jeffrey. There's no, you didn't need a, I actually happened to be wearing a jacket, but yeah, I just honestly only wore it because sometimes it's cold in studio.
Exactly.
Outside, it's just, there's a little soft breeze. The temperature is like, you could not, I don't know what it is, but whatever you dial in on that temperature, it is a golden, perfect autumn day. And I think you should appreciate it. Glorious. Particularly after the night of basketball we had last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you gotta reach for the good stuff. You gotta stop and notice the good stuff. Well, it's one of the things that having Claire in my life has actually helped me with is that, you know, we'll go on a walk and she'll say, hey, look at the moon. I never look at the moon, Jeffrey. Do you look at the moon? Do you notice the beauty around you?
I will say I'm not great about it, but like, there's been a couple of, like, I feel like harvest moons, like that big.
There was that big ass harvest. Yeah, that was a good one. Yes. And but I don't notice the. I'm not great at noticing the beauty around me, honestly. But today I would urge you to appreciate how absolutely perfect it is. Because we got some, you know, everything else is not perfect. Everything else is not perfect, including, I hate to say it, normally I talk about what a great line. The lineup today, we got no Fishman.
No Charles.
That's a blow. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on layaway, because he is presiding over a water conference. There's a conference where they will discuss water. Every year, they fly him out to be the MC of a water conference, and that's what he's doing. As if that's a likely excuse. Yeah, which worse, Anthony Richardson tapping out because he's tired, or Charles tapping out because of a water conference?
Anthony Richardson because he's tired.
Like, okay, marginally.
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that.
Marginally.
I'm going to guess that Charles's fee for the water conference is higher than our fee.
Higher than what we pay him.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, no Fishman. That's irritating. We do still have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. That's a really nice piece on Bailey Bigger. She's a artist, local singer, a singer-songwriter who's got an album dropping this week at, and I think it's at Crosstown. They're having an album release party on Halloween. So you can read that piece over at the Daily Memphian. But he was there in the building last night for that debacle. Too early to call anything a debacle?
I still think it's too early to call it a debacle.
Not a debacle.
It was a bad loss.
Certainly Certainly a disappointment and a bad loss. We had them 8-2 in the first 10, and I'll be honest, when we went through,
I thought we corrected and said we'd flip, just say 7-3 because
they'd drop one.
Sure.
Anyway, so we do have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, but no Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. All right. There were two losses last night.
One counted.
Really, it was a bad night overall because then you had the World Series getting ruined too, right?
Yep.
You know, effectively ended. So you had the World Series effectively ended, and then you have these two basketball games unfolding. And I have a confession right off the bat. I don't know how you do it watching multiple things at one time. So this was a night where I'm watching the Grizzlies on the big screen.
Yep.
Okay, the only screen. And then I'm watching the Tigers on my laptop. By the way, those games started at the same time. The notion that the Tigers game was going on and on and on and on and on while the Grizzlies game was, you know, not only was it over, not only were there post-game interviews, like in order to get Taylor Jenkins, they don't get him live. You know, he says what he says, and then they're talking on the post-game show, and then they send up the interview later.
Right.
We already heard from Taylor Jenkins by the time the Tigers were still playing.
And there's eight more game minutes in an NBA game.
That was appalling. Foul fest. No one fouled out, according to the previously agreed-upon rules. And so 66 fouls in that game. Holy smokes. I'm not good at watching both. How do you do it? I don't even understand what the... By watching both, it feels like, and maybe you'll tell this by my coaching analysis today, it feels a little bit like I watch neither.
I think it helps to have ADHD.
That may be it.
Like when your brain is like a kangaroo on a pogo stick.
Do you take the ADHD meds? Does that, like, in other words, is it better when you're do you take in more when you're unmedicated ADHD or when you know?
Like Saturday and Sundays, I usually don't take medicine.
You don't?
No.
Just soak it all in.
Correct.
Anyway. I watched it all. We'll talk about the Grizzlies here to start. Grizzlies lose. No highlights today, ladies and gentlemen. We operate on principle here, and we do not play highlights after a loss. We particularly do not play highlights after a home loss to the Chicago Bulls, where they led by 20.
Yes.
So not a debacle, but a hell of a disappointment. And I asked people on Twitter, maybe this was not me being negative, not me being my normal upbeat self, but who do you blame?
Well, it's always the first question.
I went with who to blame. We're Americans. That's what we do, right?
Absolutely. It's finger pointing
time. Who do we blame? It's the game four is not too early to start pointing fingers. We're just getting cranked up here.
In fact, I think some of us were even starting game two pointing fingers.
Who would you point the finger at in game two? There's so many fingers to point. You're pointing. The third quarter was such a team effort. Okay, let me give you some things that you might focus on. You focus on the third quarter.
Jeff, do we need a poll?
Maybe. Right. Who do you blame? It's funny when you make a poll. This is one of the things. If you, as someone who has written for a living and talked for a living, if you write something down. The same sentence that you would say over the air.
Yes.
If you write it down, gets noticed, passed around, the person that you're talking about might see it. They're like, it just lasts, right? It just lasts. We see this sometimes. Jason Ajad will say something semi-outrageous, and then Brad will say, that's good content, and he'll tweet it out. But because he tweets it out, it takes on a life of its own that just, if you say it, doesn't. And so
there's something about having a record.
I can ask you who to blame. And that's a useful exercise. But once we have a poll about it, it's such a negative poll. Let's just say, do you blame? Let me throw out. I'm going to you. Is this mostly a problem of the third quarter? How do you feel about the third quarter stinks theory?
To me, that has been the most consistent. The question, though, is, why?
Yeah,
because theoretically, the third quarter, you're starting with your starters again.
I've never really understood the third quarter theory. In other words, there's nothing intrinsic about the third quarter, unless you think it literally has to do with halftime adjustments, right? And I don't think most of us think it does.
The only thing I could say is, they've played pretty well in the first half in general.
So it's the ebb and flow of the game, a letdown third quarter, lack of attentiveness?
Yeah, or just, you know, when the game, like last night, you know, the game's in the 20s in the third quarter, and they're just not playing with the same intensity. I mean, this is me spitballing.
So if they were down at the half, they'd be better in the third quarter?
Well, I mean, that's the other question. That's why it is a theory.
They have been outscored in the third quarters 149-102. And mind you, there's only been four third quarters. Right. That's how math works. I do acknowledge that the third quarter has been a real problem, but I don't know. I can't blame a quarter. Am I blaming halftime adjustments, whatever else? So I'm not going there. Okay. How about Jazz sitting out?
I definitely think that matters.
I think they would have won the game had Ja played.
Especially when you consider it, it still got, as bad as it got, it was still a close game, and he can be the difference in a close game.
126-123, they would have won had Ja played. I have absolute confidence in that. And what's interesting now is he's not going to play, do you believe he's going to, probably not going to play both games in the back-to-back. So we were talking yesterday about which games he would play this week. He may only play one of the three.
I mean, I think it's possible. I mean, the other question is, you know, how banged up is he? Because, you know, I mean, if I'm taking him at his word, and I've got no reason not to, on Saturday he wasn't feeling great, and he decides, you know what, I'm going to give it a go.
How do you fall on the... Okay, listen. On the one hand, and this is going to apply to Jaren too. On the one hand, it's early. It's a long season. This team has had injury problems. It's not about being healthy at the start of the year. The most important is that you're healthy going into the playoffs. Let's not be short-sighted here. Grind the players down. Bring them back precipitously and risk injury, right? And risk the larger enterprise. Versus, come on, man, every game counts. Every game counts. This game counts as much as game 78 when you're pushing for a playoff position. This is the kind of game you can look back and say, what in the world? What in the world? How'd you lose that one? This is going to cost you. This could be literally last night could be the difference between a play-in and not being in the play-in, right? The difference between who will be in the play-in and who will not, who will be sixth might well be one game. And so you can't. And you got LeBron out there saying, I'm going to play 82, and you already have the Grizzlies doing this unbelievably cautious, maybe not unbelievably, but notably cautious approach with Ja not playing and with the big guns playing light minutes.
So for me, it's complicated because
we don't know the truth.
Right. We
don't know the medical reality in order. So that's why I feel...
Right, but I guess this would be where I do think this is starting to become a legitimate question. If the Grizzlies, when they made it to the postseason, were always fully healthy, or, you know, let's say, like, set aside Brandon Clark having an Achilles injury. All right, we'll set that aside. We'll say that's tough injury luck. But it's not like the Grizzlies have gotten to the playoffs with everybody being healthy.
Right, well, maybe that's why they're being even more cautious this year.
My point is, though, like they've kind of tested this, and again, you can use sample size error. You can say it's playing the odds.
I have a hard time questioning Ja sitting out last night. You know, I really don't. Honestly, I don't question it because I go for a different reason. I go because I don't know the medical reality. They don't share the medical stuff with me. They don't tell me how he feels. They don't. You know, they don't. So I'm not gonna criticize that, but very clearly, Josh sitting out was a disappointment, and I think one of the things that cost him the game. All right, let me give you another one.
All right,
Marcus Smart going 0 of 11, tying. This is according to Fast Break Breakfast over on Twitter or X, tying Jared Bayless. For the most futile game. Back in 2013, Jared Bayless went 0 of 11. Marcus Smart, 0 of 11 last night, 0 of 8 from 3. Yuck. And by the way, like some of them in critical moments,
he had a wide open corner. Too.
Oh, totally. Well, we knew when Dylan was out and Marcus was in, there would be elements of this. Like
sure.
This is part of Marcus Smart. He has been a better, though, three-point shooter. But I guess for me, 0 of 11, 0 of 8. For me, the question there is, once you're at 0 of 5 or 0 of 4, like, do you? This isn't Steph or Clay. I just keep shooting. You know, don't you say it's not my night? That's it. It's the Dylan. It's the make plays in other ways. And by the way, here's the thing. If you want whatever you want to do, say about Marcus Smart, and it is an imperfect stat, but he was plus 12. He was, even while he didn't make a shot, the team was They outscored the Bulls by 12 points when he was on the court.
He's plus 14.
Plus 14.
In the final game stats.
Okay, plus 14. With,
1 point, 25 minutes, plus 14 is not something you see pretty regularly. Now, I do think a lot of that might have to been, I think he was on the floor with Jaren a ton.
Okay, next one. I do blame him for continuing to shoot as...
I mean, if he goes
as,
1 for 8, we got a tie game.
Or, honestly, if he goes 0 for 5 and decides to do something else with these three of those possessions because he's not, it's not his night, then someone else might have hit that shot. And then we have a different game.
I think it kind of goes back to the original point. This is Marcus Smart. Like, he's kind of a streaky guy one way or the other. It's like it's either insanely hot or insanely cold.
It was frustrating. It was Dylan-esque. It was positively Dylan-esque. All right. Bulls, 25 three-pointers. It's just that kind of a night. What are you going to do, Jeffrey, when the Bulls are hitting 25 three-pointers? 25 of 53. That is a sizzling 47.2% from the field. It's the Bulls hitting 25 three-pointers. All you can do is shrug, tip your cap, and say, nice job, Chicago.
I think this is where I want to focus because I do think it's the Bulls hitting 25 threes, but I would also argue, why not get a hand in the face here?
That's the thing. I don't buy this. Of course, the math is, of course they lost because the Bulls kept dropping in the threes. Of course that's the reason. There's no question.
25 of their 45 makes were threes.
It's how they were able to come back from 20 down, and you looked up in the second half, it was just three-pointer after three-pointer after three-pointer after three-pointer. I'll be honest, though. I think I can remember one that was even marginally tough. Like, they showed, it was interesting, in the post-game analyses, they showed a bunch of the three-pointers, and it felt like they showed, you know, 15 of them.
Yes.
And as Brevin pointed out, there's no one close to them in any of those shots. They're all just wide open threes. They're not, this is not a, my God, they got unaccountably hot. What are we going to do when a team is that torrid shooting? What, how can you possibly compete? No, you get a hand in the face. It was preposterousness. What Jet Howard was doing to Yuki the other night at the end, right? It was like, come on, man. It was like the whole team was a bunch of Yukis out there.
Yeah.
And it's why Taylor Jenkins called the defense atrocious, said they basically didn't give a flip defensively. I think he said atrocious 7 or 8 times. Okay, not. But that was the theme. I don't give the Bulls credit for hitting those threes. They were gifted to them. It was appalling.
I'm looking it up from NBA.com. This is the closest defender shot dashboard.
Uh-huh.
So if I go to wide open, which is characterized by no defender within 6 feet or more.
Oh, my God.
I see Kobe White, 5 of 9. Vucevic, 4 of 8. Patrick Williams, 1 of 5. Jalen Smith, 3 of 4. Zach LaVine, 2 of 4. Dezmunu, 2 of 4. Giddey, 1 for 2. Lonzo Ball, 1 for 3. Julian Phillips, 1 of 1. And Bouzelis was 0 for 1. So that's 17. That's 22. That's 26. That's 30. 34. 36. 39. 41 of the, 53?
Uh-huh.
Wide open.
It's just appalling.
So 80%.
Within how many feet?
6 feet or more.
Not within 6 feet of them.
Correct.
So that was atrocious. And so it's the defense, and that's very clearly what Taylor Jenkins was blaming. He was blaming the defensive effort, the rotations. They just kept running that pick and roll and just torching them. Okay.
They did not attempt a three with someone in very tight, which would be within 2 feet.
What's the next after wide open? What's the next category?
4 to 6 feet.
And how many did they have there?
All right, so I see 5, 6, 7, 8. So 49 of the 53.
Didn't have anyone closer than 4 feet.
Correct. So within a
now,
step.
Within, yeah, basically open.
Correct.
Just gave up open. It was putrid. Absolutely putrid. All right. And so then we get to the, Taylor
Jenkins.
Well, so there's two parts. One is rotations per se. And there it was interesting. Honestly, just even the starters are interesting there. Started with, Aldama, Jaron, and Edie. They went big. They didn't run Scottie Pippen Jr. out there. I was surprised with John up as the starter. It worked well, right? But to me, what had me just screaming at the TV, as this lead is disappearing, there sits Jaron on the bench. And it was shades of game one and Ja. As the lead was disappearing, there sits Ja on the bench. And as Chris talked about the next day, it's a tightrope because you're trying to get away with, in Ja's case, you know, just coming back from injury. He'd played the last preseason game. It was at altitude. You're kind of going easy on Ja, but you want to win the game. And they made enough plays, honestly, before Ja returned, but then once Ja returned, to win the game. Jaron, you get the sense the same exact thing was happening. The guy played 24 minutes. He played 24 minutes. Had he played 30 minutes, I have absolute confidence he would have won the game. It is not an accident, by the way, that that the defense was putrid when Jaron and Marcus Smart, who may not have made a shot, but he guards. Like, yes. he's when they're sitting there. Jaron went out at 8:57. With 8:57 left, and they were still up 106-98. Got his third foul, goes out with 8:57 left. Marcus goes out with 8:24 left, up 108-101. Okay, they were still up. By the time they came back at 3:43, they were down 122-117. That stretch absolutely killed them. And I don't know, like, social media is social media. Who knows? And half a dozen people are screaming at social media. I don't know how many people were screaming in front of their TV, but it was very clear. Now, they were at the table for a bunch. And Taylor said, you know, we couldn't get them in. You do have timeouts. You could always call a timeout to get them in. They were at the table. They were already down when they went to the table, though. The damage had been done. And so that's very clear. Like, they are limiting their... Well, here we don't completely know. Because when Chris asked Taylor Jenkins about the light minutes that the relatively flat minutes distribution, he asked before the home opener about it. What Taylor Jenkins said was, yeah, with the way we're playing, that's what we're trying to do. In other words, it wasn't just the way he was managing injury, return, all of that. It was philosophy, right?
Yeah, if we're going to play this fast at this pace, we're going to play more guys.
And we've also, by the way, seen previously when Jaron was healthy in past seasons, him sitting out for foul issues, right? When we would have said, why the hell isn't he in here? Right?
Yeah. Last night didn't feel like he went out because he got his third foul. It felt like that was scheduled because that's around the 9-minute mark.
I'm very clear about this. I think they lost because Jaron sat out too long. I mean, there are all these things. They lost because Ja didn't play. Fundamentally, they lost because Ja didn't play and Jaron sat too long.
Yeah, your two best players didn't play very much.
One didn't play at all and one only played 24 minutes.
Yep.
So then it's a question of how mad do you want to be about that? Because
It's October 28th, or
and today's
the 29th.
And it is very clearly fueled by their concerns over his health, right? And so given that, and given that we don't know anything about that, how mad do you get, you want to be about that? Here, we'll ask the people. 445-0929. I didn't know we were going to do this, but we'll ask the people. 445-0929, 445-0929. We've had four games of the Grizzlies. We did ask the question, Jeffrey, what record would start getting people furious at Taylor Jenkins, right? And no one's like, is or should be, gotta fire Taylor Jenkins, right? Well, not nobody. Some are. Some have been for years.
Yeah.
We are to a win now situation. Like, people are, we're focused on winning damn games, as we should be. So how mad are you? And who are you mad at? You tell me what the blame. We went through some of the possibilities. 445-0929, 445-0929. I can't remember when we last took calls. But we'll talk to y'all about it. You tell me. Just game four, being cautious, appropriate to be cautious with Ja and with Jaren. Or, come on, man, time to win the damn games. This is outrageous. Or something else, whatever. Whatever is striking you about this Grizzlies team. Or if you want to tell me why you're feeling so great about the start, too, I'll take that. We'll open up the phone lines for your thoughts on the early season Grizz. 445-0929, 445-0929 is the phone number. We go to, for the first time in a long time, we go to the phones. D in Midtown. D.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm good, man.
Are you mad?
I'm not mad. I went to the season opener. The season opener was very good, but like you guys saying, we giving up these big leads. We had Orlando up like what, damn, the 30 some points, and came back to the third and fourth quarter.
21-point run. 21-0 run. In that game, yeah.
And I understand, you know, having us ready for the playoffs, but, dude, Ja, I mean, that's why the shoes, the merch, the tickets are selling. Like, people want to see him ball out, and I think they should just let him do it, you know. Hey, let him play.
All right, thank you, D. Appreciate it. 445-0929, 445-0929. Not mad, but that's the problem. I struggle to weigh in on Jaren should have played 24 minutes, which is my instinct. When I don't know the medical reality. 445-0929, who do you got?
Jeff, let's go to Les in South Haven. Les, you're on.
Hello, Les.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I really don't care. It ain't the playoffs, man. You know, I don't care.
It was depressing, though. These games do matter, Les. You know?
I agree with you, Jeff, but I mean, and I love to see him win.
Too early to get worked up about it. That's your view.
Absolutely. I'm worried about them Tigers right now.
Well, the basketball Tigers? Or you worried about the basketball Tigers? What'd you think about that? We're going to get to that in the next segment. What'd you think about the basketball
Both?
Tigers?
I think about the basketball. They made a nice run at the end. It's preseason, you know. I'm just worried about the season as a whole for the football and the basketball.
All right.
Coach-wise.
There's two words that are pretty significant. Thank you, Les. Appreciate it. 445-0929, 445-0929, if you want to tell me if you're mad. It's nice. It's actually kind of nice because the phones aren't lighting up, which means, Jeff, we don't have – like, this isn't after, like, some Memphis Tiger basketball losses that we've had in the past.
Or just, like a playoff loss.
Or a playoff loss. Or, I think it's appropriate. I think the level of just, game four, man. But we'll see. 445-0929, Dom in East Memphis. Dom, how are you, sir?
I'm pretty good, Jeff. I'm not really that upset about it. Like, I'm just kind of like the low manager stuff is cool for now, but I definitely feel like it has to be a ramp up at some point during the season because I always think back to, like, last year with the Boston Celtics. They would be up on, like, they would be up by, like, 30 in the fourth quarter, and they would still have their starters in the game. And it's just like, if you want to get to May or June, if you want to play that far into the season, I feel like you have to acclimate your body and condition your body in order to do that. And just with all this managing of the minutes and stuff like that, it's just not – to me, it's not indicative of a team that wants to win a championship. Like, you really have to, like, get your body conditioned to play that far into the season. So, I mean, it's cool for now, but definitely like December, January, February, like.
And I think they know they got to ramp them up. I think that's part of the point. But thank you. Appreciate it. Who do we got? Jeffrey?
Jeff, let's go to Anthony in Memphis. Anthony, you're on.
Yes, I just think that it's a good idea for them to let him rest. And this is why John Morant has a sort of aggressive, reckless style of play.
Yep.
And a person with that style of play needs to rest. And then you want him to be there during the playoffs. Since he's come off all these injuries in the past, let's go ahead and load manage him for a while.
Look at how reasonable people are, Jeffrey. People are so reasonable, you know. thank you, Anthony. I appreciate it. 445-1910. People want Ja to be healthy. And I concur. 445-1929. How you feeling about last night's disappointment or the Grizzlies generally? Jay Huff, by the way, elevated to a four-year deal. I would urge you to read Drew Hill's piece on Jay Huff. It's really charming in the Daily Memphian today. Who we got?
Jeff, let's go to Wes in North Memphis.
Hey, Wes.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, RG?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Okay. Look, so I know you famously always say that this is not just a sports show. So I just want to take the time. I grew up on Bill Nye the Science Guy. So I just want to do a little science experiment with everybody. I don't know
if it's anything. We'll give you a short leash here, but go ahead. Yes.
All right. So I want everybody who can see the sky to look up. The sky's still there, right? Because it's not falling. You know what I mean? It's not that big a deal, bro.
Yeah.
You know, a couple years ago, we started, 10-10? And what happened? We were second in the West. You know what I mean? We got a whole new squad. Taylor Jenkins need to figure out the rotations, figure out the pieces. We can let Ja rest a little bit, you know?
That was some pretty heavy science, Wes. That was pretty heavy science for this early in the morning. The sky is still up in the air. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
Once again, we have the best, most reasonable, measured. All this thought about sports talk is these crazy, outlandish people with their hot takes. All we have is people telling us the sky is still there. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Tony in Germantown. Tony, you're on.
Tony.
Hey, what's going on, Jeff? Hey, you know what, man? Ja is the problem, man, because what is it about? You got points for him, but the person that's stinking up the place is Marcus Smart. Somebody need to probably show him where the glue factory is because he's washed up.
That's a tough statement.
Yeah. I mean, but I will say this. Last night's game, you can't do nothing about that. When a team hitting threes like
you
that.
You can be within 6 feet of them, and so they can actually have a tougher time hitting the threes.
Let me say this. Levine was taking pull-ups on people. And I'm telling you, that dude was in a zone.
He's the only one who had. I recall at least two really tough threes he took, but that's about it. And they made 25.
But we wasn't doing what we were doing in the beginning. I mean, you going through. A big man taking the ball and going turning around back when BC did that. I'm like, man, we're going to lose this game. We were doing some dumb stuff. It's just certain things that big men shouldn't be doing with the basketball, turning around, dribbling. I mean, that's some of the dumbest basketball I've ever seen. I'd be surprised if Taylor Jenkins is the coach in 2 years.
Well, I would be, too. That's just the way it works in the NBA. How about 2 months, though? That's the real question.
Well, I don't think they get rid of this year, but he better probably be calling. Who is that guy you advertised for real estate?
Josh Hysaw. You think he should be listening with Josh Hysaw and his aggressive marketing. I think that makes sense. Josh has thebuyers.com. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Take care.
The phone's Jeffrey, it's been a long time. We miss the people. If calls keep rolling in. Who do we got?
Jeff, we've got another Anthony in Memphis. Anthony, you're on.
Hey, Anthony.
Hi, Jeff.
How are you?
How are you doing this morning?
Good.
All right, I'm going from a little different angle. I'm going from a ticket buyer perspective.
Uh-huh.
We were actually on our way to the game last night.
Yeah.
And we heard the job wasn't playing.
Oh.
I turned the car around and went back home.
You did not.
I used to be a season ticket holder.
Do you have season tickets? You have season tickets?
I did have season tickets. Then the past year I bought the half season ticket.
Okay.
And I got another one this year. It's frustrating. I went through a whole year, and I understand the injuries aren't our fault or the Grizzlies' fault. I went through a whole year paying Grizzly prices to watch the Hustle last year. And it looks like it's starting this way again this year. I don't agree with the total load management. These guys are making mega millions of dollars, and you got fans putting good money out. Not only, I got a Pinnacle seat, some decent seat, then you got to pay for parking.
What it's interesting you turned it around, though, because by turning around, you're lighting those tickets essentially on fire. But you are saving on parking, food, whatever else, right? Is that the logic? Yeah. What's the logic there?
My biggest thing is I want to see our superstars as much as possible.
Right.
And this is one of the games of the package that I had, and I hadn't seen Ja in 2 years, and I've been a season ticket holder. Think about that.
I understand the pain. That would be totally disappointing. It is a different show. Yep.
Yes, it's a different show. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Grizzlies. I'm a die riding die with the Grizzlies. But I go to see certain people. I don't go to see John Conchar.
Jake Moravia had 17 last night. All right, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Jeffrey, if you're on, we'll get to you. And we got a bunch who are still on. If you're on, we'll get to you, but we're not taking any more because we got to take a break here in a minute. Who we got?
Jeff, let's go to our man, Dennis in Whitehaven. Dennis, you're on.
Oh, Dennis, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, guys. Look, I'm with this last caller. One of the reasons I think Grizzlies games sell out and the Tigers games don't, people go to see other players. And, I think that's a big draw. I mean, I just don't understand. Make it make sense to me. How did people play in the 90s and the 80s in a more physical game and they didn't do load management? I think it's just crazy, and I think it's just another sign of wussification in America in sports.
All right. Wussification. Thank you. Appreciate it. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Caleb in Cordova. Caleb, you are on.
Caleb?
Hey, Jeff. You guys love the show. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. So full disclosure, I'm a Hawks fan, but wanted to give perspective of somebody, that lives in Memphis and watches you guys. I mean, to me, it is the risk you run of people forget, like Trey sprained his ankle in the East Finals a few years ago. And if not for that, the Hawks might have been in the NBA Finals. So, I mean, I think they should be trying to win these games more to get them where they have more options later in the season to have that leeway to decide, hey, what do we want to do to get, to be second, third, or fourth to where you're not scrambling to be somewhere like the Hawks have been in more recent years. But just wanted to give you all that perspective as an outsider.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Welcome to town. Appreciate it. Two more.
Jeff, let's go to Too Smooth. He says he's calling from all over.
Too Smooth.
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
We're good. Where's all over?
Man, I agree with you, Jeff. It is something you can do about it. You can go get on somebody. How can you not? I mean, they were hitting true enough. Like you said, not within 6 feet of a shooter. That was
ridiculous.
That's unacceptable. And what kind of defense are you in? Because of you and man-to-man, how are you not within 6 feet of a shooter? That just don't make sense to me. It is something you can do. Get out there, hustle your butt off, get to somebody, get on a man. And then Tony's saying that, you can do something, but I do agree with
a couple tough ones, but that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but now what I do agree on, now I do want to see Ja Morant out there. Ja is a young man. You can get hurt in any game. This load management stuff, I hate that. Giannis hadn't took off a game yet. Jokic hadn't took off a game yet. Man, we're not the kind of team that can afford to lose these kind of games. We should have won that game even without Ja last night. We got to come on because Taylor Jenkins, I'm sorry, but he's on a short lease. I'm sorry, man. Have a good one, Jeff.
Thanks. Appreciate it. We'll wrap it up with Chris in Clarksville.
Chris, you're on.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Jeff. Man, I think this loss is on me, and I want to tell you why.
My son's
the ultimate Bulls fan, and I asked him if he wanted to go to the game. He's like, no, the Bulls, we're going to lose. I don't want to see the Grizzlies whoop us. And I was like, well, last year when we went to Chicago, they won. They beat us. And we were up. Well, we were driving 3.5 hours into Memphis last night, and we ran into traffic. We were late. The Grizzlies were up 15, I think, by the time we even got to the stadium. And we're walking in. He's like, see, I told you we shouldn't have came. Jeff, I committed the ultimate sacrilege. I said, well, they could always come back. And, man, if it wasn't for
– Well, so wait, are you thinking – your son is a Bulls fan. Are you a Bulls fan?
Yeah. I'm the ultimate Grizzlies fan, Jeff.
I hate to say this, but we can blame your son. It was going fine until he literally walked into the building.
Yeah, that may be it, Jeff. I'll let them know you said so.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Right. How about that, driving all the way here from Clarksville? That was fun. We haven't talked to folks in a long time, and I appreciate people weighing in, but we are way late to a break, so we got to do that. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, we go from one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Depressing game two. Another depressing game. I don't know, Jeffrey. How did people feel about the Memphis Tigers losing to Alabama last night? Final 96-88. And I'll give you the half full or the half empty. The half full is, listen, they played one of the best teams in the country. The Tigers are still being assembled on the fly, ladies and gentlemen, and they're still missing some players. Tyreek Smith was out, not because he wasn't getting paid, at least reportedly, but because he stepped on Nick Jordan's foot and injured himself, and so he wasn't playing. They're still figuring out who they are, and they still came within 8 points of the number two team in the country, fought like hell to get back into it in the second half. You started to see their aggressiveness and that they can in fact wreak havoc. You got P.J. Haggerty continues to be good. He's a baller. Guard play generally, pretty damn good. And okay, sure, they lost these two games to North Carolina and Alabama, but that's North Carolina and Alabama. So much better than playing, you know, Lemoyne Owen and thinking you're great. Instead, what they're doing is they're learning, they're getting tougher, and this is exactly the way to prepare for what is going to be a really tough out-of-conference schedule, and they're showing the kind of fight and spirit that last year's team did not, and that can take them a long way. That's my glass half full, Jeffrey.
All right.
Here's my glass half empty. When Alabama cared about this, they blew out Memphis. And this is an Alabama team without four key players, three starters, and they were up by 21. They were up by 20 at the half. Everything after that was Alabama, you know, whatever. The game was over.
Yeah.
Game was over. And so, sure, Memphis didn't quit, and that's great. But what we've seen is a team that there's a vast gulf now between Memphis and really good teams. Like, we saw the vast gulf between Memphis and North Carolina. We saw the vast gulf between Memphis and Alabama. And it was just so long ago, not long ago, that Memphis was beating the Alabama. And now, you look at those two teams, they're a world apart. And the biggest problem is they can't shoot a lick. And in the end, shooting matters. It's, by the way, why they were talking about during the broadcast about Nate Oates and the coaching staff is whatever. 23 people on it, all the analytics, all the whatever. You know, the reason they do what they do is because that is, in fact, in modern basketball, just look at the NBA, what tends to work. And Memphis has assembled a team yet again that cannot shoot a lick. In their two games against North Carolina and Alabama, they are 6 of 37. Colby Rogers, once again, he was 2 of 10, 1 of 4 from deep. They were 1 of 14 from 3. They were 1 of 14, 1. One three-pointer. How do you win in college basketball when you are 1 of 14 from 3? By the way, they were under 40% from 2 overall as well. They can't shoot a lick. And so you can have all the spunk and spirit and whatever you want, but they're fixing, listen to me, fixing to play a really tough non-conference schedule. It may not go as badly as being 21 down and a half to Alabama, but this team is not equipped. This season team is not a Penny team that has overwhelming talent. It's a team that has some good journeyman players, and they're going to get their ass handed to them in non-conference play. And yes, they will be one of the better AAC teams, but honestly, not an overwhelmingly. If you can't shoot, they're going to drop AAC games as well. I'm kind of discouraged about these first two games because I think what they've done is expose the limitations of this team. That's the glass half empty. Which one do you subscribe to?
So I'm closer to one than two. I did not think it's North Carolina they got outclassed. I did think the North Carolina game was the shooting, 100%. But I did not feel like, oh, my God, this is a different class of athlete. Whereas watching yesterday, the problem that I see is if you're not going to be a particularly good shooting team, you have to be very good on the offensive rebounding side, second chance points. The problem was,
didn't they get 23 offensive rebounds?
I focused mainly on the first half. I thought the second half was...
So you do subscribe to that. You thought they lost to Alabama by 21 points, basically. You do not subscribe to the scrapped back to make it a single-digit game, and that's the score. That's what it was.
Right, but I'm also not... I wasn't the sky is falling. Like, I think Alabama does this to people. Like, I think you can just get bammed occasionally. But to me, the bigger issue is, if you're going to play a team like Alabama that you know is going to fire up a ton of threes and you're not going to be that team, you really do have to control. Like, the second chance points, I felt like, were the problem in the first half. Like, Alabama was the one that was getting the second chance points, not Memphis.
I mean, obviously, I don't fully subscribe to either of those, you know?
I mean, it's the other problem is understanding, what are we watching?
I don't fully subscribe to either of those. I think that the truth is in the middle. Of course, as it so often is, I give Memphis some credit for coming back. Beats the alternative, right?
Sure.
They did come
back.
You'd
rather see that than not.
They did show some fight, and in not just fight, they showed some ability in the way that they came back. Like, I think some of the things they did, particularly against AAC competitions, will translate in the second half. And so I think P.J. Haggerty, if you were concerned about him making the transition to Memphis, he's proven he can score the ball. He did. Honestly, filled up the stat sheet. 32 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. He was really good. I think their guard play is good, honestly. The guard play is good. I think they are scrappy. I think their guard play is good. I think they are scrappy. I think they will get better. And I think they're one of the least talented Penny teams there's been. All of those things are true, which includes the shooting. Shooting is one of those talents. And so, you know, you look at the team that had Lester and Landers, and, you know, there's been some shooting on his teams, you know, and this is not a good shooting team. And so, you know what that means? I think they're going to really struggle in the non-conference. If they're 500, I'll, you know, thank the good Lord heading into conference play. And then I think I don't think they're overwhelmingly, you know, Cal used to run through the conference, right? Why?
Yeah.
He was overwhelmingly better than everybody else. This team is not overwhelmingly. It's better, like it's a crappy conference, but hell, they weren't even picked to win the conference, right? UAB was. And they are, when they have an off shooting night, they'll lose some conference games that you don't want them to lose. Just to a team that's not UAB.
Yeah, I think the other thing we're starting to see is also, I'm trying to not judge them based on the top of the top, because I think what we've seen the last 2 years is there's a widening gap between the best teams.
Well, that's the other thing that to me is discouraging, though, because...
Yeah, but like in that next part, though, is it... So like UConn and Purdue were the best two teams all year. They make it to the title game. But then what we started to see is it's like after that, then it gets really mushy.
NC State. North Carolina is not one of the best teams by that definition. If you're talking about the two best teams.
Yeah, but
What I worry about for Memphis is, honestly, the same thing that I worry about Memphis football. I worry that the Gulf, I mean, they were talking about Alabama's budget,
sure.
Alabama's staff. I worry Memphis is a team. is a program that since the early 70s has been able to imagine itself winning a national title, imagining itself regularly going to the Sweet 16, right?
Yes, they got into the title game multiple times.
You see a program that last night that looks kind of like a high mid-major program playing a major program.
So, holistically, big picture, I totally agree with you. I think that's a legitimate concern. I'm trying to focus on this team because, to me, it's like the goal for this team is to get back to the tournament and then, like, hit the reset button, everybody take a breath. I still think that's very realistic. I totally agree.
Do you believe this team will have the resume to be an at-large at the tournament participant? Of course, if they win the conference, they'll go to the tournament. But do you believe this team?
They clearly
will have the resume to be an at-large team at the end of the year.
They clearly have the opportunity. Would I bet on it?
If I had to bet, yes or no?
I would bet no.
I would bet no at this point, given that I think they're going to be wrecked. Maybe not. Hopefully not. Right. Like, hopefully they come out and beat Missouri, and you just realize, well, this is what happens. They played, like, North Carolina's really good, and Alabama's really good, and they were getting better. They're just figuring it out. They are. That's just true. They're playing teams that have figured it out. Sears has been a good basketball player in college for a long time, and so it's a different – it's apples to orange. They're figuring it out. But I think they're going to struggle in non-conference, and I think they're going to lose enough in conference that they're my prediction would be that when we get around to tournament time, they're going to feel like they have to win the tournament to be confident to go to the NCAA tournament.
Again, that's what I would bet. I also think this league, I think we're about to see, the league is about to be really bad, and as long as they can get to conference play, being a cohesive unit, everybody's still bought in. I have more faith that this team could run the table than like last year's could.
As a really bad league, there's not a lot of opportunities to impress then.
Right.
And they can't slip up. So you're talking about one conference loss?
But where you could get rewarded, and we've seen them do this before, if you're in that type of bad league, they will give you credit for scheduling. And the Tigers have scheduled very well.
I have hope. In other words, I have. When I said the glass half full thing, there are a lot of elements that I do believe, and the glass half empty thing, there are a lot of elements there that I believe as well, including what you said. I don't think the second half was that real, it was an interesting game, and it was interesting to see the reactions on social media because it really was. You can see in it whatever you want. You know, you can see it at a team that improved over the course of the game. And by the end, they were playing the number two team in the country, even better than even, you know, they outscored them in the second half. And that's what happens when you figure out your bearings, you start to come together as a team, if you want to, I mean, if that's your perspective, or you can think, first half was Alabama was trying, look what happened. So it was a game I've never known the word Rorschach. How do you say the word Rorschach?
Rorschach test.
Rorschach?
Yep.
It's Shaq at the end? I always avoid the word because I'm never confident in it. Rorschach test. Anyway, so there you go. All right, we got Chris Harrington. We'll resume discussing the Grizzlies when we return. Then, sadly, no Fish on Friday on Tuesday today. He is otherwise occupied. And so we'll play Believe It or Not.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.